Hello and welcome to the final episode of this podcast series, Pondering God's Personhood. I'm your host, Natalia, and we're in conversation with Pastor Jeremy. Knowing God by his personal name is one of the greatest privileges for followers of Christ. The word God is found throughout the Bible, but the Lord reveals himself more personally through the names with which he introduces himself in Scripture. Just to make it clear, there are several more titles given to God. In this series, we have only briefly looked into a few. For more in-depth study, there's a lot more content available, but this should help you think and get started. So let's look into today's title.
Hi, Nat, and welcome everybody to this podcast. And we are at the very end of our series on the names of God as we think about Easter and Good Friday coming up and prepare our hearts and minds for a renewal, a review, and a revisit of this beautiful time in our year, in our lives. The cross is a place. The cross is an event. The cross is a starting point. The cross is a finishing point. History reconstructs itself at the cross. Time reconstructs itself at the cross. We are so blessed to be people of the cross. And as we think on the depth and the riches of God's wisdom in allowing Christ to go to the cross, where mercy and justice met, we are, in a sober way, brought to the realization of how blessed we are, how incredibly privileged we are. The name, the title I want to dwell on, meditate on today, is Elroy, E-L-L-Roy, R-O-I. Or you could pronounce it as Roy, Elroy. And depending on how you pronounce it, even the meaning changes. The meaning is God sees, or if you say El Roi, it means God sees me. This name was coined, if we have to use that term, by Hagar. Hagar was a servant woman who was working for Abraham and his wife Sarah. And because Sarah was not able to conceive for a very long time, they took matters into their own hands, even though God had promised a seed to Abraham and Sarah. God had said that they would conceive and they would have the promised child through which all the nations of the world would be blessed. Now, this wasn't happening. They thought they'd take matters into their own hand. And Sarah suggested that Hagar go into Abraham and conceive for them. This was not an unusual practice in those days. And they should have trusted God's plan on it. However, they took matters into their own hand, and that's what happened. Hagar goes into Abraham, she conceives, and she has a little boy. This boy is born, the baby's born, and then there seems to be a development of negative emotions and behavioral patterns between the two women, Hagar and Sarah, resulting in which Abraham is frustrated with what's going on. He then says to Sarah, do what you want with Hagar. She is your servant. And that's it. So Sarah then throws Hagar out. And Hagar is thrown out of the house along with her little boy. And she's wandering the wilderness, now rejected by her own community, rejected by her employers. She's out of house and home, finds herself just wandering in the desert with her little boy. And it could not get any worse. It's one of those situations where you really feel, you know, nobody really cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody sees my situation. Nobody understands my point of view. It's not my fault that I'm in this situation. I didn't choose to be here, and yet here I am. Maybe that's your story today. Maybe that's how you feel today. Hagar definitely felt it. And she came to a kind of sense that, you know, everybody has abandoned her, and nobody sees her, nobody sees her situation. But God, who is a righteous and a just God, regardless of Abraham and Sarah's folly in this matter, he saw Hagar out there in the wilderness, and he provided for her water and food and shelter. And when God did that for Hagar, she then responds with gratitude, and she calls that place where she met with God and where she received from God his provision, she calls that place El Roi or El Roi, which means God sees, or God sees me. It's such an important truth to know that God sees us, that God knows us. He sees us personally. His eyes are on us. In fact, the scriptures say on some occasions, he says, the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro to see how he can serve the righteous. He's always got his eye on his people. Those who love the Lord have always got his attention. The psalmist brings it up in Psalm 119. He says, you can't go anywhere. Even darkness is as light to God. Nothing can come between you and God. Nothing can hide. There's no place you can go to hide, to the point where God sees everything and all over. But it's not about the fact that you can't escape God. It's that when you think nobody's looking, nobody's watching, nobody cares, God is, God does, God sees. And that is the beautiful aspect of God's name here, as Hagar calls God and calls on God and calls God the God who sees. God does see. Psalm 34 is a beautiful rendition of this truth. It doesn't specifically take that name or refer to that name. But the psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. That's what I'm afraid of, the things I'm afraid of. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces will never be ashamed. That's what I'm ashamed of. And this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him out of all of his troubles. That's what I'm struggling with, what I'm contending with. So whether it's your feelings, your fears, or whether it's your shame and what you're embarrassed of, or whether it is your struggles, your troubles, your challenges, the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So God is a God who sees. God is a God who's seeing no matter what, and nothing comes between him and you. And he knows, he sees, and he understands the situation. He's the one person who knows the background, start from the beginning, the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what caused the situation, what brought you to that place, and he will never misjudge the situation. He will never misjudge your intentions. So the Lord is a God who sees. And even if you're surrounded with hundreds of people and you don't feel anybody sees, you don't feel anybody understands, you don't feel anybody cares, El Roi is the God who sees me. And sometimes we think that God sees, he sees everything. And we use that term in such a spooky way, you know. We think he sees everything, he's watching everything, like some authority figure in the skies looking for trouble, looking for misdemeanors. He is not a God like that. He's a God who sees what we are going through. He sees our thoughts, he sees our actions, he sees our plight, and he feels for us, he feels sorry for us, and he feels compassion for us. The Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. So that's a wonderful way to end this series of podcasts, especially looking at the names of God, the titles of God, within which context we can relate to him, pray to him. Today, your prayer to God has to be in the arena of how you want him to see you and where you want him to see you, because he does see and he does care and he does have an answer to our issues, our problems, our challenges, whether it's shame, whether it's fears, whether it's troubles. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the fact that you're a God who sees. You're not blind to us. You're not blind to our situation. And you don't just see generally to everyone. You see me. You see me. I am visible to my God. I am not invisible. I have not faded into a large world of many people with many problems. I am not invisible to you. I'm not insignificant to you. If you have your eyes on me, your heart is on me. Your attention is on me. If you have your heart, your attention, your eyes on me, that's what puts value on me, Lord. So I know that I'm valuable to you and that you care. Father, these are the areas of my life I need you to come in and change and heal and sort out. This is how I feel about how people have abandoned me or neglected me or rejected me. But I also want to value the fact that even if nobody did, you see me. Even if nobody recognizes me or acknowledges me, you do. And for some of us, maybe that's where we are, where we know God sees and know God cares, but we don't care about that. It's not a value to us that God sees. We still want the attention of people, of situations, of the world, of audiences. Lord, we have to come to a place where we value the fact that God sees us and that God knows and that God cares. So as we prepare our hearts for this Easter and for Good Friday and to revisit the place of the cross, Calvary, Golgotha, Lord, prepare our hearts and minds and help us to focus not on ourselves, not even on our sin, but on the heart of the Father and what it costs you to give up your Son for us. Thank you, Father God, for Easter. And as we come out the other end, may we come out not only with a greater appreciation of the fact and truth that it happened, but also with the desire that that power, the power of the risen Christ, would work in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe if you still haven't, and we'll see you in another podcast.